It is 4:35 on this beautiful Friday afternoon, so it must be time for our Smart Speaker Series. Joining me on this beautiful afternoon is science expert Dan Riskin and Robert Benzie.
Hello.
Hi. Queen's Park Bureau Chief at the Toronto Star, Robert Benzie, joining us as well. Dan and Robert, thank you both so much.
Hey, Rashmi. Hey, Dan.
Thanks for having us. Robert has had a busier day than I have, that's for sure. He's been just flying away, just making stories happen. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
We're just stenographers here today. It's just typing away at Queen's Park.
Yeah, none of your tweets are going to get you docked pay for 10 days like Councillor Josh Matlow. But let's go through some of your stories here, Robert. You broke. Okay, well, we know that Ontario's Children's Minister, Marilee Fullerton, quit today. She's resigned her position. I looked up the riding in Kanata. She won by a landslide, really, in the last election last year. Kanata-Carleton claimed 43.5% of the votes by Marilee Fullerton. Do you think they're going to have a hard time filling that in a by-election?
No, I think it's a safe progressive conservative seat. So, but I think their more immediate pressing need is to find a new minister, because the Community and Social Services Ministry is a huge file. It's the third biggest in terms of budget, handling welfare and autism and all sorts of important issues. So the government has, as at least as of 4:35, Rashmi, they don't have a new minister yet. So they have 6 months to call a by-election, but they don't have 6 months to pick a new minister.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate any familiar names?
I don't know, because I mean, it's such a big ministry that if you shuffle, if you move a minister who from another portfolio to do the Dr. Fullerton's portfolio, that means that their previous department needs a new minister. So it becomes a sort of domino effect. So I don't imagine that they're going to be rushing into a major shuffle. We had heard there wouldn't be a cabinet shuffle until the summer. So that's when they're traditionally done, in June. So.
Okay,
well, Robert, in your experience, I know I'm not the interviewer here, but I just have to ask, in your experience, is it unusual for someone to suddenly, out of the blue, hand in the resignation like this in person? Or is there more of a story to this? Do we have any inkling what the motivation is for this big change?
Yeah, I gather, Dan, that it's for personal reasons, familial reasons. So, I think it's still a surprise. I believe she was here yesterday for the budget speech, and I saw Premier Ford in the hallway. My bureau is on the third floor, and his office on the second floor. And I saw him walking to the Lieutenant Governor's suite, which usually signifies some kind of a change in cabinet. But I didn't recognize any MPPs with him, so I don't know. I don't really know yet what they're going to do. This has clearly been blindsided folks, though. I mean, I've had staffers, Tory staffers, texting me and asking if I've heard what's going on, and that's because in these types of situations, people always start to figure out what it's like a vacuum, news vacuum. People are wondering what could this be, when in fact sometimes it's not really a mystery. Human beings have challenges in their lives sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dan, I miss you in studio. I mean, feel free to interview Benzie along with me here, because we have one other story that Benzie broke that we need to ask you about, and that's the Ford government. A day after the budget is tabled, you found out, Robert, that they're slashing OHIP-covered eye services for seniors?
Well, in fairness, Rashmi, they put a press release out. I mean, I'll take credit for breaking it, but I think it's because I'm one of the few people here today that I noticed it. They're making changes in conjunction with the Ontario Optometrists Association. They're making changes to levels of service. So right now, seniors, everyone 65 and over is eligible for an eye test every year. That's going to change to only people who have eye conditions will get one every year. All other seniors who are healthy and don't have any eye issues will get an eye test every 18 months. And the government says this is it's being done. It saves money, for one thing. But it also, the government says, look, this is getting us more in line with other provinces. Nova Scotia, Manitoba do eye tests for healthy people every 2 years, not every year. But, I mean, there's going to be criticism. Marit Stiles, the NDP leader, was saying this is a cut in service to something that people have been used to. And it is interesting, Rashmi, that it's the day after the budget.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, U.S. President Joe Biden is on the Hill addressing Parliament. Dan, did you catch any of his speech?
My favorite, I saw little bits of it come across Twitter, and apparently he said something disparaging about the Toronto Maple Leafs. He said he likes all Canadian hockey teams except the Leafs. So that's going to play very well in Ottawa, but I don't know how well that's going to play for people who are listening right now on this station.
I can't stop laughing. I love poking fun at Leafs fans. I was going to say,
yeah, I'd like, he knows his audience, right? I mean, it shows what a good politician he is, that he knows about that the Leafs are kind of like the Yankees of hockey, and that either you love them or you hate them, and he knows enough to sort of like put his toe in that pool and then get back right out of it. And I like his style for that one.
Well, you'll appreciate he wrapped up by saying we're going to the moon, and yes, he's taking a Canadian astronaut, but that's old news, hey?
It is old news, but you know what? I think that it's worth remembering when, you know, there's so much riding in these relationships and there's so much to be said about how well the countries get along and how things change when it's a different president and things like that, that space is this thing where everybody has to get along. And we're still all participating with Russia on the International Space Station. And so what happens in space really does have an impact on diplomacy. And it is very cool that the next Artemis mission out to the moon is going to have a Canadian on board. It'll be Americans and one Canadian going out past the moon, going farther from the Earth than any human has ever gone before. And it's not meaningless that that's a Canadian going with Americans. We really do have a special relationship with that country, and space is part of what shows that.
Yeah, your thoughts on Biden's visit to Canada, Robert?
Well, you want some depressing news, Rashmi. The Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since man went to the moon in 1969. Our last one was 1967. So, and I say that as someone who is a Leaf fan.
Oh,
but,
I'm sorry.
But I also, I guess because I am a Leaf fan, I also am self-loathing, and I guess I yes, hate the Leafs.
Yes.
because they do nothing but disappoint me.
But you spend a lot of money on a losing team. You know, you spend a lot of money.
A lot of emotional energy over many years. But I agree with Dan. I actually listened to the president's speech, and I thought it was a good one. And I thought even when he made a slip and he said something about China, He caught himself and said, "You guys know what I'm thinking here." And I think having the Michaels there, as John Moore was telling you earlier, Rashmi, was really powerful. I actually got a bit of a lump in my throat seeing the two of them getting a standing ovation from the most powerful people in Canada and the most powerful mm-hmm. man in the world, the President of the United States, because what they endured for 1,000 days was just an awful thing.
Absolutely. And it is something to celebrate to have them standing yeah. there. We have 2 minutes left here, so I want to get your quick thoughts on the integrity commissioner at City Hall saying Councillor Josh Matlow should be docked 2 weeks' pay, a 10-day pay suspension for 2 tweets. Dan, just on that alone, do you think that's fair?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I think politicians sometimes break rules on purpose in order to make their point. And whether 10 days of pay makes a big difference to Josh Matlow or not, I don't know. Whether he's angry about this or not in real life, I don't know. But I never take any of this at face value. I don't know whether he was breaking the rules on purpose or whether the rules are fair. It's a little outside my my jurisdiction. But when a politician breaks the rules, I usually assume they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, fair. The code of conduct at City Council needs to be looked at, I think, Robert.
Well, I mean, I just don't know. You need a 51-page report on 2 tweets. look, Josh Matlow is not the first person to do something or say something that he regretted on Twitter. I think, yeah, this seems heavy-handed. Although, in fairness, he maligned the reputation of a public servant, according to the complaint that was filed by former city manager Chris Murray. So I think you have to be careful what you put on Twitter. You have to be careful what you, I have to be careful what I put in the newspaper. Our lawyers and editors look at things. So maybe, you know, people need to think before they tweet. I'm not sure this is how Matlow wants to launch his mayoral campaign with a 2 week suspension, but we'll have to see, I guess.
Yeah, we'll find out. He's going to join us live at 5:35 right here on The Rush to talk about this issue. We have Dan Riskin, science expert, and Robert Benzie, Queen's Park Bureau Chief at the Toronto Star, joining us this afternoon for our Smart Speaker series. And it continues on the other side of the break. We're going to take a quick pause for traffic, and then we'll get into some really interesting stories. Dan has a science one that you want to stay tuned for. Keep it right here. It's The Rush, News Talk 1010 Toronto. Rashmi Nair with you on this Friday afternoon, continuing our smart speaker series with science expert Dan Riskin and Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star, Robert Benzie, both joining us live on the line, going through today's top headlines and things you didn't know that you need to know. I was just looking at this really great interactive piece, Robert, that the Toronto Star has on how Toronto became an uneven city. This is something that I've been catching on to in discussions as we talk about housing, how Toronto has just built detached and semi-detached houses and missed opportunities to build multifamily homes.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what, Rashmi, you make a very good point. I think we have to be. This is our zoned out series that my colleagues Victoria Gibson and Nathan Pilla put together on thestar.com. And I think we have a city where a lot of people still think that we can have it like it was in the 1950s. But you know, if you go to any big city in the world, London, New York, Paris, people don't live in single family dwellings the same way as they do here. And I think that's something we have to get our heads around. And it's the funny thing, Rashmi. It's not even a thing on the political spectrum. Like you have people on the right and people on the left who are both NIMBYs or each NIMBYs, and I have them in my neighborhood, people who will have a stop the 413 sign on their front lawn, but they also don't want a six-story building on Ossington or a six-story building on Dundas. And I think that's something that people are going to have to get their heads around, because folks have to live somewhere, and you can't just keep building more and more sprawl out and farther and farther out, because there just isn't the transit infrastructure to get people to and from their work and their homes.
Absolutely. Density is an issue. Is there a scientific perspective to this, Dan?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to point out that Robert was pointing about NIMBY people in his backyard, so that's like NIMBY
there you
NIMBY
go.
Or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Meta-NIMBY.
It was like, yeah, NIMBY inception. I really like that. That was a special moment for me. But you know what? I'm going to just take a little bit of a sidestep. I mean, it's an important issue, but I think what the Star has done to make the story jump out at you is really worth taking a moment on. If you haven't had a chance to go visit the Star's website and see this graphic, what it does is it zooms you in and out of different neighborhoods while it explains what's going on, and it makes it just jump out at you in a way that it often doesn't happen even with the best writing. Some different people learn in different ways, and as a science communicator, I'm always thinking about how people can understand stuff, how to visualize things. I see how NASA tries to show us things that are hard to imagine, how quantum mechanics gets shown, and so it really matters when you take the time to explain something that way, and the Star has done just a beautiful job here, and so I encourage people to check it out, because it really makes it very clear and very intuitive very quickly.
All right, let's get to a really interesting story that you have, Dan, about going to live sporting events. Even a Leafs game could be good.
Even
for your
health. Leafs game. Although the Leafs were not part of this study. This is a study in the UK where they polled about 7,000 adults, and they asked them a bunch of psychological questions about how they were doing. And then they asked them if they had gone to any sporting events recently. And then they compared the happiness and other things between people who had gone to see some sports recently and people who hadn't. And they found a significant difference. And so what they're reporting on this is that if you go to see sports, you're going to be happier. You have a greater sense of life being worthwhile, and you have a decreased sense of loneliness, and you have improved life satisfaction. So the Raptors are playing tonight against the Detroit Pistons. So if you want to get yourself a ticket to that, what this study would suggest is that that's just going to immediately make you happy. But the flip side is that they didn't control for a bunch of things. So they didn't control for, does it work if I watch it on TV? That wasn't really part of this study. Is it the sporting event itself that I have to go to, or is it just watching sports that gives me that benefit? And the other thing is that it might be that people who are already happy are just more likely to get out and go see a sporting event. So it was a correlation. It's not as clear which one leads which. So you're going to have to sort of do a self-hack on this and decide, you know, try a week without going to any sports and then try a week with going to sports. And they didn't differentiate between amateur versus professional. So if you're going to your kid's hockey game, that should count too. But overall, hopefully, going to sports does make you happier.
And assessing the health benefits, they don't take in what you eat when you're attending that sports event. But are you buying into this, Robert?
You know what? I am actually, Rashmi, because I know from experience going to a sporting event. I if you look at the pandemic, what did we miss most? We missed seeing people. We missed seeing whether it's going to the theater or going to a concert or going to a Raptors game. I really missed that social aspect of life. And I think I'm so grateful that we've moved past that, and to go into a packed stadium and see athletes play, or actors on stage, or musicians on stage. That's just so great. And yes, I'm not surprised at all that that makes you feel happier.
Yeah, I do miss that, being in large groups and just, you know, feeling united on some sort of front. Yep. Wrapping up this weekend, I wonder if you guys are going to be holding on to the TTC tokens, because they will no longer be sold starting tomorrow. I mean, essentially today is the last day to get a hold of one of those tokens. Do they carry any sentimental value for you, Benzi?
It's a token of my affection for you, Reshmi. I'm saving one. I'm going to give it to you. I actually, Reshmi, I got to tell you, I thought they'd already phased them out long ago. Because ever since, I used to love tokens and hated the tickets, because the tokens you could use at the unmanned kiosks, right, to get into the subway. But yeah, thanks to Presto, my Presto card is much more convenient, I have to confess.
Yeah,
the Presto card is more convenient. I mean, one thing that tokens do is that you could buy a token and then hold it, and as the price goes up, you still got your token. Now they'll still accept tokens. And the big news today is that they're not selling them at third party locations. So the TTC wasn't selling them directly for a while now. Now little shops in the TTC, you know, once you get in there, you're not going to be able to buy a token there other places. But yeah, I mean, if there is a disadvantage to it, it's that you can't game the system anymore by buying 1,000 tokens at $3.20 or whatever it's at now, and then, you know, using them over the next 20 years at a lower price.
Do you remember when fares would go up, there would be token shortages?
Yeah, that's right.
You reminded me of that, Dan. It was like, the fares are
going up. Those days
are
gone, I guess.
Oh, man. But I had one of those token holders where you could fit 5 on each side. I loved that thing.
Oh, you're fancy.
Oh, that's cool.
Back when I really relied on the transit system. Thank you both so much for your time and your insights on this beautiful Friday. Do you have any big weekend plans? Robert, I know you're at Queen's Park catching all of the news releases.
I'm still working, Reshmi. I'm going to be here for a little while longer. But yes, I'm going out this weekend. So I'll be out and about. Maybe I'll bump into you.
All right. And Dan?
I'm going to go watch some live sporting events involving my 8-year-olds who are playing soccer. So I'm looking forward
to that.
Nice.
Oh, you're going to be happy.
Yeah, I will be happy. It's a lot of fun to watch those games.
It's a great day for a soccer match. Okay. Thank you both so much. Happy weekend to you.
Thank you.
You too, Reshmi. See you, Dan.
Dan Riskin, science expert, and Robert Benzi, Queen's Park Bureau Chief at the Toronto Star, both joining us live here for our Smart Speaker series on this sunny Friday afternoon. I really love how bright it is as we approach 5 o'clock. Coming up on The Rush right here in our final hour of this week's broadcast, we are going to hear from Councillor Josh Matlow about the Integrity Commissioner's 51-page report. You heard us discuss it in the Smart Speaker series. The Councillor for Ward 12, Toronto St. Paul's, and a candidate, he's going to make it official when you can put in the nominations to run for mayor. He is a mayoral candidate looking for your vote on June 26th. He is facing a reprimand for a couple of tweets. The Integrity Commissioner saying, take his pay away for 10 days, 10 working days. That's 2 weeks. That's a whole paycheck. Does he deserve it? We're going to hear from Councillor Josh Matlow coming up in the next hour. And we'll bring you all of today's headlines. The U.S. president and the prime minister are holding a joint news conference right now. We'll bring you the highlights of that as well. Stay with us. It's The Rush, News Talk 1010 Toronto.